Here we go. Here we go. Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. As Gwen Stefani famously postulated, I'd have all the money in the world if I was a wealthy girl. I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I'm Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I'm Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
Of all the arm wrestlers in all the land, our super producer Jason Daphnis is one of them, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at StoopKidsPod. It's always difficult to keep personal prejudice out of a thing like this. And wherever you run into it, prejudice always obscures the truth. I don't really know what the truth is. I don't suppose anybody will ever really know. Nine of us now seem to feel that the defendant is innocent, but we're just gambling on probabilities. We may be wrong. We may be trying to let a guilty man go free. I don't know. Nobody really can, but we have a reasonable doubt. And that's something that's very valuable in our system. No jury can declare a man guilty unless kids is spelled with a Z. Today we're here to talk about episode 91 of Hey Arnold. For those of you keeping track at home, that is season 5, episode 11. Going by production code order, we're going to start with episode A, which is called, if you're Wikipedia, Harold versus Patty. If you're Paramount Plus, this episode is called Harold and Patty Arm Wrestle. So really putting a fine point on it. Go figure. Original air date, February 3rd, 2002. The Wikipedia sanctioned episode summary is as follows. PS-118 is having an arm wrestling contest, but Harold gets humiliated when he loses to Patty before the contest, so he asks Patty for some pointers on winning. And shouting out the folks who made this episode possible, Christine Kolosoff, for one, directed this particular episode, and the writing credits go out to Michelle and Robert Lamoureux. Saucy combination, maybe. I don't know. They have the same last name as each other, so that's kind of saucy in its own right. But let's get into some takes. Harry, we'll start with you. What did you think about Harold and Patty duking it out?
Hey, thanks, Cody. Yeah, I really liked this episode. I remember it as a classic. It's one of several Harold and Big Patty episodes that are very memorable to me, all sort of like devoted to the same theme. I don't know if I like it quite as much as the original Harold and Big Patty episode, but I really enjoy the arc that this one has, and I really enjoy a couple of the particular elements of it, like the fact that you could make the argument that the kids in PS-118 are sort of uncharacteristically cruel in this episode. I actually think that kind of works for me, just in the sense that like you can have, especially at this age, gender politics are so weird and gross, especially in the time period in which this show was made. I don't know if they've actually improved, because I don't have a lot of contact with 9-year olds right now, thank God. But I remember, you know, growing up, and like even my friends who were like good kids whom I liked and who had like relatively positive attitudes about a lot of things could be like stunningly regressive when it came to gender politics, just because they were crappy 9-year old boys, right? And so I think seeing all the characters that we know and love laugh, it really stings, and it kind of reminds us just how like pernicious and evil these sort of like gender dynamics can be, in a way that I actually think is really interesting in this episode. I really like that like Arnold is not the person who makes the difference in this episode. He in fact has kind of a silly solution, as Arnold sometimes does, right? Like I think he's usually our moral arbiter, but I kind of like that like in this case his solution is like, well, like let's train Harold so that you can beat Patty, and then you don't have to be ashamed anymore. And it's like, Arnold, that's a silly solution. Though, to be fair, Arnold does try to do the right thing first and tell him that actually, like, your gender politics are regressive. I think it's interesting that this episode ends up turning on like the idea that like Patty's not only better than Harold, naturally, she's also just working harder. And like that's kind of an interesting nuance that is thrown in here, where like eventually Harold actually goes to Patty for help. And I really like that in this episode, even though he goes to Patty for help and even though she gives him all of these pointers that he never would have gleaned on his own, he still can only see her as a woman at first. I think that that's another really interesting nuance, is that there's this sort of like biological essentialism that Harold espouses, where he's like, well, but men are, what is his line? He says like bigger and stronger and sweatier. And so he should be able to arm wrestle. And then finally, like, I really like that. It's such an absurd premise, right? It's like Harold, like the episode opened with Harold beating everybody at arm wrestling, right? So like the fact that he's being bullied for losing to a girl is ridiculous, because it's like by the transitive property, like all of those people who Harold beat at arm wrestling were also beat by Big Patty. So it's ridiculous that they would make fun of him. But again, it's like, I think that this episode does like a surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly given that it's Hey Arnold, but like a really good job of depicting how stupid, like, gender politics can be, and how regressive like gender stereotypes are, and yet how pervasive they can be, particularly among kids. I think that it all leads up to a really feel good conclusion, right? Like, I really like that Harold doesn't throw the game, neither does Big Patty. Big Patty actually beats him of her own skill because she is better than him, and Harold learns to not only sort of like accept that and be tolerant of that, but to value that in Big Patty as well, right? Because she becomes kind of a mentor to him. So maybe a little bit obvious in its messaging, and I'm really interested to hear in particular like how you guys feel about the gender breakdown, because I get the feeling that maybe you might feel a little bit differently about it than I do, particularly the way that Patty is like harder working than Harold is. I don't know if that's I really like it, but I'm interested in what you guys think as well. So yeah, I like this episode. I think of it as kind of a big classic of season 5, and I'm kind of surprised that that it wasn't earlier in the series because of how memorable I find it.
Yeah, all of that is interesting and really well said. Yeah, it's cool to hear that like this falls as sort of a classic for you. I don't know if I have as like intimate of a memory with this one, which is maybe fascinating in its own right. I don't know. You be the judge, dear listener. But while you're thinking about that, I will kick it over to Emily. Emily, what did you think about this one?
Hey, thanks for asking, Cody. I think this is a pretty decent episode. Not one that is like a favorite of mine, but I think it's good that it challenges the gender roles between Harold and Patty. And yeah, just Harold being called a girl over and over, especially by his dude friends, and kind of being like ridiculed in that way. And even for just hanging out with Patty and like associating more with her, I think they're just pretty harsh on him throughout it. And yeah, the writers are really highlighting how silly it is to hold so tightly to like toxic masculine ideas, and the idea that girls aren't as tough, or whatever outdated other gender roles come up. I'm tired. What else did I want to say about it? I think... Yeah, I really like Patty teaching Harold, though, and all of the sequences where they're meditating on the roof, they've got the incense, there's like beautiful sunset skies behind them. She has Harold crossing the log on the river and balancing books on his head. Just really great sequence or scene for them, the mentor-mentee situation. And to Harry's point about like what we both think about the fact that it's kind of written like Patty has to work so much harder than Harold, and that's why she's good at the arm wrestling and such. I feel like there is something to it with women and girls having to work harder than men and boys to get the same amount of recognition. typically in the world at large. So I definitely think there's something to that and how they probably wrote it like that. But then there's also the fact that boys and men are just typically physically stronger and, you know, but you know what I mean? That's kind of, I like the end too, where Harold tells Stinky and Sid the business and, you know, Patty's the best in town. So what are you guys on about? Like, leave everyone alone and get off your weird toxic masculine high horse here.
That's the worst. That's my least favorite high horse, is the toxic masculine high horse. He's a real jerk.
Yeah, he always bucks me off when I tried to ride him. Maybe that's why I'm so woke. You know, that's, hey, I don't know. I'm all about introspection, but probably not on a hot mic. But I like how you two are characterizing this episode a whole lot. And that was... I don't know. I've got a lot kind of kicking around in my head, just but addressing the first sort of point that both of you touched on, just with regards to Patty being portrayed as a character who is better at arm wrestling because she works harder than Harold. It felt like a pretty like safe portrayal of it to me, and not even though it came up the whole like Harold gesturing at like, well, men and boys, you know, have that sort of, there's a certain like genetic advantage, other sorts of variables that I think the episode, and the writers and showrunners were smart to not like spend too much time on. That could have easily been sort of an unforced error, just like on the surface. And admittedly, a lot of it was also me holding my breath until the end of the episode, just to see like, depending on who wins, I will feel differently. Depending on what sort of just desserts the main antagonizers get, I will feel completely different about this episode. But the fact that Patty is a hard worker, she is down for friendly competition, and Harold is her friend, and so she's down to give him some pointers. And in the end, she still won. I mean, spoilers for the episode, but she still won. Like, that's great. It makes sense to me. She's the hardest worker. Harold, maybe with more hard work down the road, Harold will be the best arm wrestler in the city. But he spent a week training with a couple of buddies. Like, that's not nearly enough. Come on. Hashtag sports. But yeah, this is not the first episode where Patty's been on the receiving end of another character, like learning a lesson sort of at her expense. Not nearly so much in this episode. It was, I think, more egregious in for a couple of different reasons with polishing Rhonda, because it was literally at Patty's expense. She didn't come out sort of on top in that sort of whatever prep school sort of debutante contest they had. I characterized that poorly, but and also Rhonda is a character who, as we've talked about in the past, is so great in part because she never really learns from her mistakes fully. Like, that doesn't really carry over. Whereas Harold, especially when he shares an episode with Patty, seems to kind of make that upswing and connect the dots and really pull through, like he does at the end of this episode. Violence isn't all that cool, but Sid and Stinky are real shysters in this episode, and I'm all for Harold bobbing their heads together. That was very satisfying. That's the moment I was that I was certainly waiting for. So that was, and man, honestly, and not just them, everybody in their grade except for Arnold, even Phoebe was laughing.
Yeah, hate to see that one, right?
Yeah, that was rough. Rough to see, but yeah, I mean, Harold speaking out for himself and advocating for his friend Patty was really nice to see. And then, I don't know, just like final quick thing. We'll talk more about sports throughout this week's episode, but arm wrestling sort of, yeah, like a fringe sport, but a sport nonetheless. And it was really cool to see that portrayed. Cool to see single elimination bracket, even though it was a bracket that, pinned, I'm getting choked up thinking about the seemingly identical twins pitted against each other in the first round.
Yeah, the Winklevoss brothers.
Right. Yeah, very unfair to pit two Winklevoss twins, two strong independent Winklevoss twins together in the first round, no less. But I'm kind of rambling at this point. This is, yeah, I think a fine, fun, possibly even good episode. It could have been a lot worse depending on how they explored other parts of this conversation. But I think the to me anyway, the sectors that they sort of, the lanes that they stayed in, I feel like they covered well enough. I don't know. What do you think, Harry?
Yeah, I think that's well characterized. And I really liked something Emily said about how, like, I think that women working harder thread that you were pulling at is really interesting, in that I think that it reveals the ways in which this episode is also sort of about male privilege or male arrogance, right? Like, I think that, like, a big part of this episode is that Harold assumes that he is just going to win because he's the biggest and the strongest, right? And even after Patty beats him, it doesn't really sink in why. He's just like, oh, I just need to train with Arnold for a day, and now my confidence is so much back because I'm the biggest and the strongest that of course I'm going to win. And I like that Patty ended up developing this technical skill because she never had the sort of like male privilege to have that arrogance, right? It was like, so from the very beginning, Patty was like, okay, like, I know I'm going to have to work harder because I don't, like, I've never had this situation where I haven't had to work harder. Therefore, like, that ends up giving her an advantage. And sort of, she has to sort of like teach Harold that what he's doing is actually a sport, right? Or that he'll actually have to do work to achieve something that he wants to be good at. And I think that there's a really interesting gender dynamic there, right? And that makes their mentor-mentee situation really heartwarming in the way that it is, right? Even though it's sort of like dramatically turned around when it's revealed that Harold isn't actually interested in improving. He just wants to beat Big Patty and is sort of using her in that way. So that's a good second act twist. I guess the other thing is just that, like, I really like, or I have complicated feelings about Big Patty only ever being used in episodes like this. I guess I would like to see her develop more on her own terms. I think, though, a really poignant and heartbreaking thing that episodes that feature Big Patty do is that they demonstrate that Big Patty, despite, again, sort of like subverting stereotypes, is actually quite sensitive, right? And also, like, hard part about this episode, and the episode that got to me, is that Patty felt she had to apologize to Harold right after beating him. And like, Harold blamed her for the way he was being treated rather than blaming the obvious issue, which is the jerks that he's hanging around with. I think that speaks to really poignantly to a really sad aspect of like gender roles, especially for kids, which is that like all of the like onus to change and to like ameliorate those effects falls on the people who are victimized by them, right? It's like Patty has nothing to apologize for, but like in order to sort of like assuage her and like salvage her friendship with Harold, she feels like she has to eat crow even though she did nothing wrong, right? So I think it's really important that Harold ends up being the person to stand up for her in the end, because I think that's sort of like restorative, and I think that's a really good lesson to impart here, that like, hey, like, actually, like, it is very much on the people who benefited from privilege to counteract that privilege. Like, that's Harold's responsibility. It's not Patty's responsibility to teach him, right? That's just something she did out of the goodness of her heart. It's not Patty's responsibility to apologize for him or to take it easy on him to help his ego. It's actually like completely the ball is in Harold's court to manage his own ego and come out the other side, right? I think that's really cool. Or I think that the episode does a decent job of portraying that.
Yeah, no, agreed. All of those, you're including all those fun sports metaphors. Ball is in Harold's court. Man, this really is a sports filled episode. Yeah, I think some of the things that you talked about, maybe they landed better for me in the moment, if only because I, like, for example, interpreted Patty's apology being more specifically for, I can't remember the exact wording she used, but basically to the effect of, I'm sorry if like you were embarrassed. Like, I'm sorry.
I think she said, I'm sorry I embarrassed you. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. And so, okay. Yeah, that's fair. Depending on, there are a couple nuances with that language that, we're, as opposed to like, sorry I beat you would have a whole different meaning than like, sorry I embarrassed you, or sorry that you felt embarrassed, or whatever the case might be. Sorry your friends are complete buttheads, and so on and so forth. But like all of those I felt myself latching onto those sorts of minute mannerisms, because this is really like, Patty's such a good character. We say that whenever there is a Patty episode, but the fact that this is an episode, each Patty episode, I feel like, gets less dependent upon the fact that Patty is, you know, someone who is notably, I guess, you know, like different in a number of ways from the rest of her classmates. And we're really like focusing on that. Whereas it's just Harold and Patty are two people who are really good at arm wrestling. Patty happens to be a girl. And that's kind of like what we're grappling with this episode. But she, at the same time, while she is apologetic and cognizant of her friend's feelings, when Harold pushes back and says, you know, like, oh, like, well, because he's obviously, there are a lot of different layers to it, because he's wanting to put on a show. He has the classic male bravado of, oh, I worked out with my friend for 15 minutes. I'm all set. Like, I can do anything now. I'm a guy. La, la, la. And Patty is like, you will not win. Like, you are making a mistake. Are you sure you want to do this? So yeah, like her kind of, yeah, like advocating for herself, and against her friend being further embarrassed in those moments, was really cool. But it is, yeah, it is, I think, equally important to recognize, yeah, like the role Harold has to play in the end of this episode. It makes for a sweeter resolution when Harold can work through that conclusion himself, and before Patty beats him as well. Like, that's a resolution he came to before the sort of climactic showdown, Clash of the Titans scenario. So yeah, I mean, but again, depending on if those are nuanced a little bit differently or timed out a little bit differently, we might be feeling a little different about them. But I was overall down with how things kind of played out.
I really like what you said about specifically why Patty is such an effective character, in the ways in which she's sort of at an intersection of a couple of different, like, marginalized positions, right? She is a girl, but she's also like a big girl and a tough girl. And so, like, every way in which she is different from other people in the show becomes this sort of thing that Patty, unfortunately, like, has to be aware of, right? It's like Patty lacks this privilege to navigate the world without an understanding of how she's perceived, that somebody like Harold does in this situation, right? Like, everywhere Patty goes, she knows that she's a girl and she's being perceived as a girl, and there's a lot of weight to that. And she knows she's being perceived as a big, tough girl, like Helga perceived her in the very first Big Patty episode. And I think that it's really heartbreaking and realistic the way that Big Patty is portrayed as a character who is very cognizant of the role and the place that she has in the school and in the perception of her peers, and that she feels like she has to manage that very carefully. And I think that that makes the climax of this episode better, right? Where, like, Harold maybe kind of for the first time, like, recognizes the ways in which she had to do that and he hasn't had to do that, or he hasn't had to do that in the same way. And that's something to be sort of like respected and appreciated, right? It's like, oh, it's not just that Big Patty is a girl and she beat me. It's like she has to do all of this other stuff, right? And, like, she worked really hard to, like, get here because she has to, like, deal with this inequality that has been sort of, like, foisted on her against her will and against sort of justice. And that is itself something also to be celebrated. And I think that that's a really cool message itself too, right? Is that, like kids, like, the appearance of people that are different from you do not just, like, require your tolerance, but they require your understanding of the ways in which they're different and how those differences affect the way that they are allowed or forced to live. And you should respect that and endeavor to learn from that, right? And so I think it's a pretty cool, like, learning message about how we sort of, like, learn from each other in a cool way.
Yeah. Kind of like how we're doing right now, learning from each other. It all comes full circle. Well, nice. The one shout out I had, this is me leaving it open for shout outs. The one I had, the movie marquee And it gets brought up at the end of the episode as well, hitting up the new Shy Stallion movie, which I can only assume is a reference to Sly Stallone, aka Sylvester Stallone. And it seemed like the movie on the marquee was either called Armed Dangerous or Armed and Dangerous, potentially a shout out to the 1987 film Over the Top, which I have not seen, but it's Sylvester Stallone maneuvering the underground, like, well, not underground, it's the World Arm Wrestling Championship, so like arm wrestling on its biggest stage, but it's a meager stage because I don't imagine arm wrestling has that big of a following. But cool and fun. They had, I don't know, like the type of thing that the showrunners had no reason to put in, but it's cool that they did. So shout outs to Shy Stallion, I guess.
That's a great shout out. I also shout outs to like Craig Bartlett back in our interview with him where he like really finally confirmed our suspicion, and he's like, oh yeah, everybody was huge movie buffs and we were trying to sneak in as many movie references as possible. I think about that all the time when I'm watching this show now, and it's super gratifying. The one shout out I have is to the little like hand holders that the competitors were able to hold on to, which when I was a kid really bothered me because I was like, well, wait a minute, like having something to hold on to brace against with your other hand during an arm wrestling contest completely changes the sport of arm wrestling. Like then it becomes about the arm strength of both of your arms. And it like is a totally different like mechanism and lever for controlling the, like the force that's being applied. So that always bothered me. And it still bothers me. Get that out of there. That's not arm wrestling. That's not, what is it like? That's not sanctioned. That's not official. So, I don't know. I don't know about this contest, and I don't know about the validity of the contest. So maybe we have reason to doubt Patty's victory. I'm just saying.
Sure. Throw a big old asterisk on that in the record books. Any other shout outs from this one before we close out Harold versus Patty?
I'm going to go shout out to Big Patty.
Forever. Yeah, absolutely.
The biggest of shout outs to Big Patty, a real one, a real champ, undisputed, no asterisk, next to her victory. I changed my mind. But we do have to put this on pause. I'm going to see if I can walk across my apartment with a stack of books on my head. Because I'm a big, strong guy, I'm sure it won't take very long. So we probably will literally be right back, assuming I succeed, which again, I don't know why I wouldn't. So, sit tight. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. We've got episode 91B up next, and that episode is called Rich Guy. Original air date, February 3rd, 2002. And I'm going to slam on the brakes again because I forgot to mention, if you're Wikipedia, the episode is called Rich Guy. If you're Paramount Plus, this episode is called Arnold and the Rich Guy.
What is going on?
I don't know. Sung to the tune of Beauty and the Beast. Arnold and the Rich Guy. Never mind. Different syllables. Forget I said that. But this did originally air February 3rd, 2002. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. After Arnold saves the life of a rich man, the man invites Arnold and Grandpa Phil to his house. He tells Arnold that he wishes Arnold was the son he never had, though he really does have a son, but they share nothing in common. And a special Wikipedia note for this episode. Guest star was Fred Willard as the voice of...
Let's go.
Honestly, a legend. He voiced, as Wikipedia says, Sammy Redmond. The Paramount Plus subtitle said Redman, and I forgot to look this up before hopping on. Let us know what you think in the comments, or I'll just look it up in the background. But in the meantime, Christine Kolosoff directed this episode. Joseph the Pertman Purdy wrote it. Let's talk about this rich guy. Emily, we'll start with you. What did you think about Sammy Redmond or Redman or Johnson or whatever his name is?
Well, first of all, yeah, Paramount Plus took some creative liberties with these titles, huh, for both of these episodes. This one being Arnold and the Rich Guy, which made me think like Sugar Daddy or something is kind of how that reads. Sorry, Jason, if that has to get bleeped. But what did I think of him? I think he's quite the eccentric billionaire. I think it's funny that there's a billionaire on Hey Arnold. he's got to be the wealthiest person we've seen in the series, maybe aside from just Ronnie Matthews or Mickey Kaline, maybe, if he's making some bucks at the restaurant. But yeah, they kind of set this up with you like sort of aren't quite sure how you feel about him when Arnold and Grandpa are hanging out with him, and he's kind of schmoozing them and taking them to Dinoland, which he owns, and his mansion, which has bowling lanes in the mansion. It's got like a robot that'll make taste the ice cream, whatever's for you. And Grandpa kind of gets deeper and deeper into that sweet life a little bit. But they also sort of make it seem like, oh yeah, this rich guy just maybe doesn't really have anyone around or any family around. And Arnold is sort of filling that role for him right now. But then we come to learn that he does in fact have a son who lives at said mansion, and he just doesn't know how to relate to him. It's not that they don't like get along, or that there's anything like bad between them. It's just that they simply can't really relate to each other. And yeah, rich guy really likes sports. Rich kid really likes artwork and photography and ballet. And so leave it to Arnold, the fourth grader, to help bring this father and son together. A la the Christmas episode in some ways, but not quite. A much weirder version. And yeah, I think Quigley Field was looking really nice in this episode, and much larger than I remember in season one. And I don't know. I don't think it's particularly a funny episode. I guess I didn't even write down messaging. I think maybe my takeaway is just that it's okay that people don't always relate to each other, even if it's a father and a son, but that they can find some common ground or something that might interest them. Here, that overlap is Alan taking really cool photos at the baseball game and his dad seeing them when Arnold brings them over and him being so impressed and then wants Alan to teach him how to take cool baseball photos at future games. And Alan views the baseball game like a ballet, classic artist form. So yeah. But yeah, I want to hear what y'all think about Rich Guy or Arnold and the Rich Guy.
Arnold and the Rich Guy. La, 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 la. A development in this Redmond versus Redmond thing really quick, which, by the way, thank you, Emily. That's a really great characterization of, I think, a pretty fun episode. You know what's not fun is the answer to the question of what his last name is. IMDb and Wikipedia say Redmond. The Hey Arnold fandom wiki uses it, the name of the article is Sammy Redman, and then it goes on to use Redmond and Redman almost interchangeably. So I don't know. I'm not, and this goes past the point of how much I want to interrogate this. I'm just going to leave it as it is.
It's worth noting, though. Yeah, that as the Wikipedia itself says, Redmond is the name of the town where Microsoft was founded. Mm-hmm. And seeing as how like Bill Gates is maybe, or at least at this time in 2002, was the most famous billionaire, it's probable that Redmond is the last name, just as a reference. Boy, was it depressing to say Bill Gates is probably the most famous billionaire and then have to check myself and say, or at least he was in 2002. Oh man, the world is a worse place now.
I don't want to
even
think
than it was back then. Hello. Speaking of which, I think this episode is fun, as you said, Cody. It's always really made me uncomfortable. It made me very uncomfortable when I saw it as a child. It still makes me uncomfortable now. I really love Fred Willard's performance. Sammy Redmond is just a very deeply uncomfortable character for me. I always disliked that he was just hanging out with Arnold and that he clearly had like some pretty profound sort of like arrested development and psychological like repression going on that was forcing him to call Arnold Sonny and act like he was his son and try to sort of like bring him into the situation. Like, I don't think it's an accident, by the way, that the writers made sure Grandpa was in every single interaction that Sammy Redmond had with Arnold to just sort of disarm some of the more threatening aspects of this character. Again, not to be too dark or too gross. Like, I'm not saying that that was like, that that's even the implication here. I'm just saying that, like, even as a kid, I was like, oh, there's clearly something sort of like dramatically wrong with this guy that is forcing him in, or that Arnold has sort of like found himself involved in, to the point where like it's distracting, right? Like, I think that throughout this episode, I was a little bit on Grandpa's side, frankly, even though Grandpa is so funny in this, where he's just like, yeah, just get the big bag of money out of him. And I was like, I guess less like get the big bag of money so much as like, Arnold, like, stop associating with this guy. Like, it's not your responsibility to heal this rift between the father and son. It's like very much outside of your purview as a 9-year-old. Like, I know he's Arnold, and I know he has to do these things, and that he is this sort of like beatific, like, angel sent to restore balance to the universe, like Aang from The Last Airbender. But even in this situation, I was a little bit like, man, Arnold, it is just not your responsibility to help this grown man reconnect with his gay son. Like, you just, it's weird that you feel like it's your responsibility to do this. I find it sweet, right? I also just like, I don't know. I found the messaging, to Emily's point, a little bit strange that like, I don't know. I just like, I think it's like, even though it's obvious that like, it's great that Sammy ends up reconnecting with Alan, his son. I just like, I don't think that like we needed to make this much space for him to do that. You know what I mean? It's just sort of like, man, like it, there's a power differential here. Like, you're an adult and you're a billionaire. Like, if you can't connect with your son, like, that's your problem. You know what I mean? Like the way that this show sort of portrayed him as blameless in his, lack of attempts to connect with his son, and even sort of like on equal footing with his son, right? Where like his son is a photographer, an artist, his dad's a big sportsman. They presumably have tried to connect with each other and have just sort of like mutually given up. The episode sort of portrays that as like, well, it's nobody's fault, right? They're just different. It's like they speak different languages. It's like, not really. Like, I don't know. If your son doesn't want to connect with you, that's very different from you not wanting to connect with your son, right? Like, you're an adult and a parent, and like, it's your responsibility to do these things. And so this sort of like weird portrayal of Sammy's failures as a parent being this sort of like natural consequence of personalities didn't really sit with me, right? And it kind of made the resolution where Alan essentially had to like launder his interest through his father's interests in order to connect not really sit right either. I think it maybe like could have been the opposite, right? Where it should have been that like Sammy was like, hey, like, there have been a lot of really great sports photographers through the ages, and like, that's how I want to connect with you, right? It's like, I'll take an interest in your photography and try to like make an effort that way. That being said, right, like, I think that, like, this is me nitpicking, and this is me sort of, like, letting my discomfort with the episode color what I think is supposed to be a pretty nice message, which is what Emily said, right? Which is that, like, actually, like, differences are all about perspective, and if you put in enough effort and you care enough about another person, you can find ways to connect with them, right? And it's good to do so because it will lead to better relationships, and you'll actually get to learn more about each other and maybe even discover new things about yourself in the process, right? So it's like, it's a good message, I think. I think it just gets there in a really weird way, right? Like, I don't understand why he has to be rich. I don't understand why he has to be this like man child who like hangs out with Arnold and Grandpa so much to get at that. It kind of feels like they discovered what they wanted to do with this episode like halfway through the episode, if that makes sense. It's like Alan doesn't arrive on the scene until like the end of Act One, I guess. And like, it's almost like a surprise reveal, right? Where the pieces fall into place and it's like, oh, that's why he's acting this way. So I think it's a good episode. I think it's a fun episode. I think a lot of it is that Fred Willard is an unbelievably charismatic performer and super fun to listen to. But I wonder about like, I feel like they sort of like, in an attempt to tell what is ultimately a very simple message, they ended up introducing a lot of like inequalities in relationships and sort of like realities that they don't really address in a satisfactory way. And in a way that kind of makes this episode feel a little bit more uncomfortable and complicated than I think they maybe even wanted it to be, if that makes a lot of sense. But hey, maybe that's my anti-billionaire politics talking. I don't know. What do you think, Cody?
No, for sure. This is, as we've said a number of times in the past, an anti-authoritarian podcast. Anti-billionaire as a label also, I think, falls squarely within that Venn diagram pretty well. A lot to unpack, but I stand by this being a fun episode, definitely an uncomfy one in stretches. I think the, especially coming into season five and understanding that this is a show that, among many other things, looks to poke holes in like maturing at like all stages of growth and development, but especially adulthood, and like showing.
Wow. Yeah. Great point.
Yeah. Like showing grownups at their most stupid. Sammy is another stupid grownup. The big difference between him and all the other stupid grownups that we've seen on the show up to this point is he has considerably more money. And so that's, it is a different power dynamic for sure. But like in my head, it's really easy for me to see this as sort of a natural either progression or like a compliment to like a Coach Wittenberg episode, where like with Coach Wittenberg, it's like, hey, Arnold, you got to help me coach these teams. You got to help me get buy-in from your teammates, your little friends there. You got to be the best man at my wedding. You know, things that Arnold should not be tasked with overseeing, but that's just how it goes in Hillwood with one Arnold Shortman. I guess they don't use his last name in this series yet. Spoilers for Arnold's last name, I suppose. But so this being sort of like similar vibe to me, it was like a very hyperactive individual spewing, you know, 8,000 words per minute. And I do legitimately, I think I come down liking both Sammy and Alan as characters, and how they service the episode, and the episode, just the progression of the episode services them, because it's not a situation where I feel like we have so many times in the past, especially I feel like in recent seasons, where it feels like Arnold is meddling. I don't feel like he is meddling here, because you see kind of between the lines that Sammy legitimately wants to connect with his son, and Alan legitimately wants to connect with his father, even if it's not like 100% always outward, like Arnold being like, hey, Alan, why don't we hang out with your father? And Alan's just like, yeah, like, let's, yeah, we can give it a try. It's like, he's not necessarily like, you know, restricted. There are no like walls up necessarily. Like, there's a barrier that's been built, like progressively built up, you know, between the two of them over the years, just because of them growing apart. But there's no, like, there's not necessarily, at least from my like perception of it, no like bad blood. It's just like we don't know how to connect. And the rest of the episode played kind of, to me, like I felt myself guessing, just like, okay, what's the connecting thread going to be? How are these two go? Like, what's the intersection of these two Venn diagram circles going to be? And like seeing them sort of explore that together, maybe like 2-on-1 pickup basketball is probably like an obvious avenue that they didn't need to go down. That was never going to be it. But I just like Alan voice is like, yeah, this, once I saw, you know, sports kind of more like a ballet, they're just like, I really latched onto it. And yeah, like obviously you would want Sammy to shoulder more of the responsibility, but with him being the ostensible literal grown up in this relationship. But then again, grown ups are extremely stupid everywhere, but also especially in this show. So like, I don't know, a lot of that, for as uncomfy as it was, maybe it is just like the Fred Willard magic of it as well. Like, I felt myself coming around pretty positively. I like the note that it ended on. Even love the like low usage but very efficient work of Grandpa in this episode of being like, yeah, well, okay, but Arnold, did you like get the big sack of money? Because Grandpa knows what's up. That's like, they're entitled to that. Arnold saved his life, why not? Like, so what? They should get compensated. Mr. Egg Cream is a really nice reward to pick up from that. Mr. Egg Cream, the greatest of all time. But anyways, that's where I'm at with this episode.
I think you you stated that super well and kind of brought me around in certain ways. For one thing, I think it's a really good point that, like, it's important to remember that Hey Arnold is, like, in addition to everything else it's doing, it's also a show about how deeply valuable adults are and how age and experience does not necessarily equate to wisdom or, like, competence, right? And so, like, or to state that better, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're done learning or that you don't have lots more to learn, even obvious things to learn. And so I think that that's a really important thing here. I also think something that you're saying that's kind of driving home for me why this episode had to be about a rich guy, even though it's never really directly addressed, except in the highly sort of like hands-off comedic way that Phil brings it up repeatedly. This is an episode about Arnold having an opportunity to exploit somebody's psychological weakness, right? It's like Arnold finds himself in a position where, because of Sammy's like deep longing to connect with his son, he has sort of like sublimated that onto Arnold and is like lavishing Arnold with gifts and attention. And like Grandpa keeps saying, it's like Arnold could just ride that, right? It's like he could just be like, yeah, I'll be your son, rich guy, and just sort of like take advantage of that in order to do things like going to Dino Land and getting fancy dinners and stuff. Instead, Arnold also sees this opportunity to like help this person, right? And so like he can use the influence that he has sort of like by chance been given over this person, either to exploit this person or to help them. And I think that, like, that's another really big trope of Hey Arnold, is that, like, hey, when you have an opportunity to influence somebody, you should for the better, right? Or, like, you should help them on their terms. And, like, I think that, like you said about Arnold meddling here, like, it doesn't feel like meddling, right? What it feels like is Arnold has sort of, like, had this opportunity is not even the right word, but this almost, like, moral quandary dropped into his lap, as he often does. And it's like, well, you're going to do one of two things with it, right? Either you're going to sort of like exploit the fact that this hurting person is sort of like doting on you, or you can help them set that right. Right. And like Arnold obviously does the right thing. And so I think that's a pretty good message, right? Is this idea that like, hey, like you're going to be given opportunities, quote unquote, to like take advantage of people. Oftentimes because of like problems in those people's lives. And instead of doing that, instead of like exploiting weaknesses that you find in other people, like helping them address that weakness is like a better way to go, right? And it's something that you can do with the leverage that they've given you. So I think that like that's interesting, because like that's a much more complicated and nuanced message than I sort of originally took away from this. And I think that like it's very in line with this restoring balance preoccupation that Hey Arnold has, right? Where it's like, hey, like when you notice something is wrong, just the fact that you notice it means that you have this opportunity to do something about it, and that you can, right? Like even if you're a kid, even if you feel like you don't have a lot of like ability to change things, like just being there, just being present, just like trying is a good way to affect change. So I think that that's really in line with a lot of what Hey Arnold is doing. And I think that helps me feel a little bit better about this episode, even if I still feel like the episode is kind of strange in the way that it goes about communicating that.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. The one other sort of maybe unintentional side effect of this being a strange episode with a strange new character, that being that of, you know, billionaire or quadrillionaire, however rich this guy is. But the fact that we are, and it's, I don't know, one of the big sort of metatextual ideas that I had kicking around in my head when we first started this, this little project of like being able to recontextualize the show and our understanding of like the world that the show inhabits, and the fact that they are able, like Craig and friends are able to find ways to do that, even as far as season five, just by like introducing somebody with a multitude of like more resources than like anybody we've seen you know, up to this point, other than, you know, like the Ronnie Matthews's, the Mickey Kalines, the Rhonda Wellington Lloyds, the Lorenzo's moms of the world, like the other rich and in some cases very, very beautiful characters that we've seen on screen up to this point. But just the fact that Sammy owns Dinoland, just the fact that that was dropped, the fact that we are seeing like his house is unlike anybody's residence that we've seen in the show up to this point, and is notably different from a lot of the spaces that we've seen in this series up to this point. We're in some really nice restaurants. We are like, even just something as like unremarkable. I mean, going to a baseball game is remarkable all the time, but just going to, you know, Hillwood Field or whatever their baseball field is called, but just like going to the baseball stadium for the eighth time in this series, but this time with like a really rich guy. You know, you never know who you might be sitting in front of at a baseball field. It could just be some NPC-esque character. Ooh, a gaming term. An NPC-esque character. But you may just find yourself sitting in front of the richest guy in town. So I don't, there's like a very, just something kind of lurking in the background, lurking has a connotation of like wrongdoing or evil. That sort of permeating, that's a little better, I guess, permeating the background of this episode that I really liked. Just like looking for the ways in which we can allow for Hillwood to be recontextualized and allow ourselves to see it just like a little bit differently based on how it's drawn or what characters are a part of it. That's something I really enjoyed.
That's a really good point. So what you're saying is that actually Arnold, had he known that Sammy Redmond was sitting behind him, had a moral obligation not to block that puck so that Sammy Redmond would be killed by it and would stop hoarding resources. I see what you're saying.
I don't think Mr. Simmons has talked to Arnold's class about the trolley problem yet. I'm sure it's coming up in near future unit.
I would love to hear Mr. Simmons discuss the trolley problem. That sounds incredible. One other thing about this episode that I think accounts for some of my discomfort, but is actually a strength of Hey Arnold as a whole and this episode in particular, is that I've always found it really fascinating that the show does not shy away from children interacting with damaged adults, right? Like Pigeon Man or Monkey Man, or even like to a lesser extent, but a pronounced extent, Sammy Redmond, right? It's like, this is a guy who like is troubled. Like the reason why he has this sort of like arrested development and this obsession with sports and with his sort of like childhood nostalgia is because he desperately wants a son to connect with and he feels he can't, right? And I think it's really like, there's something really realistic and somewhat frightening but important in Hey Arnold just sort of like being straight up about the fact that like, hey, like even kids are, you're going to have to interact with adults that like have problems of their own. Sometimes problems that are going to affect you in profound ways, or that will even be foisted on you. And like that is something you're going to have to navigate. And part of navigating that is understanding that adults are people too, right? Just like you. And in some cases are just children like you, right? Have big feelings that they don't know how to deal with, don't feel like they don't have the tools to deal with them, right? And so I think that there's a really interesting through line throughout the show.
Hey, sometimes as a kid, you may even have to live with a bunch of kooky characters in a boarding house. So, yeah, no, a good message to put in there.
So true.
It's extreme. Yeah, that's makes you think. It makes us think a whole lot. And I think about some pretty good things. Are there any other pretty good things that y'all would like to shout out from this episode? I will just say, when they called out Mickey Kalines Jr. by name, alluding to like a legacy scenario, that kind of got me right in the feelings. Again, I don't remember this week's episode. I don't know if I ever watched it in my youth, so that kind of blindsided me. But that was a very nice little connecting thread. Will he live up to his father's legacy as a baseball player? I don't know. Remains to be seen. But it's cool that the show is dropping little fun Easter eggs like that. Shout out to Mickey Kalines Jr.
Also, was that VR hockey that they were playing at the mansion?
Yes.
Back in 2000. Pretty crazy, pretty ahead of the times there.
Visionaries.
I would like to shout out Grandpa wearing the foam finger on his head like a hat at the real life hockey game. And his line that he keeps saying about how can I repay you? Oh, big sack of money is all. Also, baked, boiled, or mashed, I'll take a potato anytime. Same.
Wow, big same. Shout outs to, for whatever reason, the shorthand for rich people that is having a bowling alley in your house. I don't know why, but like throughout all media, I feel like when you want to portray somebody as just absurdly rich, you put a bowling alley in their house, which, you know, fair enough. If I ever went to a friend's house and they had a bowling alley, I'd be like, this is probably a rich person. Also, like, I'm not a huge bowling fan. Friends and family will know it's my toxic trait. But even I admit that, like, having a bowling alley in your house sounds pretty sweet that you can just go hang out in. There's something about, like, a big room like that that has, like, one recreational activity that is the whole thing. I would love to, like, just go down to a basement and just, like, hang. I guess it's sort of like a home theater, which I would much rather have. But, yeah, so shout outs to bowling, shout outs to having a bowling alley in your house, and shout outs to Mr. Egg Cream. I've always found that extremely funny. And speaking of Sylvester Stallone movies, probably a Rocky III reference, right? Is it Rocky? No, wait, is that Rocky II where he has the robot?
I just recently was like, I should probably go through and watch through the Rocky movies because I've only seen the first Rocky and then the first two Creeds. Sure. I cannot speak to that. But if they have a robot.
There's a very funny robot in one of, I believe it's Rocky II now that I'm thinking about it. And it's a pretty good, it's like a symbol of how he sort of like let fame and fortune go to his head as he has like this silly robot. And shout outs to Rocky, I guess.
Yeah, nice. Wow, that rocks. On that note, thank you, dear listener, for listening to Stoop Kids. This is a Hey Arnold podcast. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod. That's kids with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I've been Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I've been Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
Your egg cream, Mr. Redmond. I don't know. Arm wrestling. What a concept.
What a concept.
Remember when, who was it? Did Jason beat Aaron in arm wrestling, or was that like the whole joke and Aaron's been beating Jay? I've never been present for any of them.
I've never been present for any of the matches either, so I can't say. Frankly, I don't trust the reports of either individual involved.
Yeah. We do have to be careful, though, with this because we could say that one or the other won, and a certain super producer editing this.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, like I heard that
Jason won the arm wrestling contest.
Yeah, I heard Aaron was the big loser in the arm wrestling contest versus Jason. So I guess we'll see if that gets.
I also heard that
Aaron
steals from his mom's purse. That one's for you, Jason. The clean read for you.
He does though, which is
he does.
The
it's
real
dumb.
Sad thing about it. Yeah, it's not just his mom, but his teacher as well. He was homeschooled, so
wow, good point.
It cuts that much
double
deeper.
Whammy.
Yeah, the all new press your luck. We're pressing our luck.